Thank you. Acts chapter 13. Hope you've had a good day in the Lord. I have enjoyed myself this morning and tonight. Enjoyed prayer meeting time. For the month of September, we took a journey as a church through the eyes and hearts of different missionaries. And so we're going to look here in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, and then talk a little bit. I'll ask for a little bit of input as soon as we get here reading, and then we'll flip over to Acts 14 as well. We're going to read from Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Mene, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. So when we read this, we notice a couple of things. I pick out first in verse number 1. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch. So we're talking about a local body in a particular place of believers. Church made up of born-again people that were baptized, assembled together to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that there in verse number 1. We also find that there were people that ministered. Verse 2. They ministered, and they didn't minister just haplessly and aimlessly around. They ministered unto to the Lord. So we get this, we grasp this, it helps us go a long ways with everything we do. Everything we do, we should do heartily as unto the Lord. As you start doing it for men and for women and for people, you're going to get tired of that. Because men, women, and children will let you down. Your expectations may be too high, may be too low. It doesn't matter where you sit your expectations. Eventually, men will let you down. So what we do, we have to do is unto the Lord. We do it for the Lord. Everything. And it's a ministry. Some people try to discount the different opportunities of the Lord's work as not being a part of the ministry. But everything that goes on here in our local body is a ministry of the church. When you get involved in it, you should say, "Well, I'm doing this just simply because I need to do it. Because if I don't do this, then they're going to look at me in such a way." No, he said, "Lord, here am I. What can I do for you?" He gave us an example. He said to us, "When I was in jail, you visited me." Well, I can be honest with you. The Lord's never done nothing according to Scripture. We can find out that he deserved to be in jail. My fact says he was sinless. He was out vile. No guile found in him. He was a man of honor, upright. But he said, "You visited me when I was in prison." He talked about being sick. "You visited me when you visited the sick." Well, we visited. He healed a whole bunch of sick folks. Never. Well, when you did it? "When you did it unto the least of these, my brethren." So when we do for others in the name of the Lord, not looking for an attaboy, a pat on the back, or something like that. So you're doing it for the Lord, and you let the Lord worry about who gets the credit. And you won't be tired of this. I believe a lot of this year growing tired in the Lord's work is because we're doing it to please man. If you want to grow tired, you just try to be a man pleaser. The Lord said, "I will give you rest, strengthen you, as if you were up on the wings of an eagle. He'll give you rest. He'll help you through. He said, greater than me that's in this world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, all power is given to me. So when I minister to the Lord. Then the Lord begins to take notice of that. And this is what took place. The Lord took notice that they were ministering there in the local church. If you ever go to a shipyard, you notice in the shipyards where these big old shippers and tankers and big cargo ships come in. Once they get into port, they move very, very slowly. Sometimes they even have to stop using their main engine and have to be tugged in, pulled in, so they get in. But as soon as they get out there on that main sea, well, they can be left, right, go here, go there. They can move all on their own. I think some of it, the reason that God's not using us is because we're like tied up to the port in our pew. We're there. We're wrapped up. We need to be loosed. What did Jesus say about Lazarus when he come out of the grave? Loose him. Some of you just tied up with the things and cares of this world. No wonder you can't minister to folks. You got to get loose. You've got to get out to get work. But when you do that and you get busy, then the Lord starts looking at you and say, huh, he or she's being faithful in the least of these things, or the little of these things, the smallest of these things, so I've got something else I want them to do. And so it begins to give you a bigger job, a bigger portion of the work of the Lord to do. And so this is what happened. As they ministered unto the Lord, verse 2, they fasted. They buffeted the body. The Holy Ghost said, not mama, not papa, not the preacher, not aunt, not uncle, not the song leader, not Sunday school. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This is a work. It's a labor. It's a place where you'll toil and sweat, and you'll put a lot of effort in. Paul said in another place in the Scripture, said you've got to be willing to spend to be spent. That means you're going to end up being tired to the end. And then it said, and when they, verse 3, that's talking about the church, you keep it in context, when the church had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, they sent them away. Verse 4, and so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Cilicia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God.
Amen.
Then you read and you go through here and you study this, and you'll find Paul and Barnabas and John Mark as they traveled here, there, and yonder, doing as the Word said. The Word said that you're to plant, to water, and God will bring the increase. So they did that. They went on this missionary journey. They came back here in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 23. Acts chapter 14, verse number 23. They're finishing this here first journey, this missionary trip. Preaching the word of God, planting. Actually, look in verse number 21. The Bible says, and when they had preached the gospel,
amen,
to that city, and they taught many, they returned again to Lystra. So they returned back to a city, into Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. So people heard the gospel. They received the news that Jesus saves, that they were worthy of separation from God for eternity in the devil's hell. And they trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This is what takes place in missionary work. That's why it's so important. We're dealing with souls of men and women, boys and girls, that's going to spend eternity somewhere, and God wants them to be saved. It says, not willing that any should perish. Verse 21, that we must, through much tribulation, so enter into the kingdom of God. So it's a difficult path to do this, because listen, people have rejected God's way from the very beginning of time. Cain and Abel. God set forth the path of worship, the approach to God, by the killing of innocent lambs, and Cain showed up with some fruits and vegetables, went over there to the marketplace or into his garden, picked it up, and he wanted to come his own way, and it wasn't acceptable to God. So they've been trying to go their own way. Didn't stop there. Got so bad, that God had to take care of business with the flood and things of that nature, because men became so separated from the ways of God and the difficulties of God, the path of God, that they just completely turned to the wickedness of this world. And there was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, because they saw other ways and other paths. So it's going to be tribulation. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be an easy path. The work of the Lord is not an easy route to go. He said to his disciples, the foxes have holes and to call a home. I don't even have that. So it's not an easy route. Listen, God moves upon your heart and calls you into the work of the Lord. Dear friend, you cannot be expecting a bed of roses. But I will say to you, you will not find no greater comfort than being right where God wants you to be in His work. So they confirm in the souls that trusted Christ. Verse 23, when they had ordained elders in every church. So people got saved and people got baptized. They began to organize church and ordain some elders, and they began to lay hands upon those that had surrendered to the work of the Lord and became pastors in the work. And they ordained them there to watch over as under-shepherds of the flocks that they left. Now they're still on this missionary journey. And prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. After they trust the Lord, you plant them, you get them established, their friend. They have to, at that point, as a new-made church in Christ, has to learn to walk following the Lord. So they commended to the Lord. Okay, Lord, we've done our part. Now they believed upon you. You saved their souls. Now you take care of them. And they moved on and began to work. And verse 24, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, and they went down to Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, where they had started this journey. They sailed back to Antioch. Remember chapter 13. From whence they had been recommended by the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, the church at Antioch, the church that prayed, fasted on them, sent them away. The Bible says this, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. So they finished their missionary journey. They came back to the church at Antioch, and the Bible says they rehearsed what took place. In other words, they brought forth the word and repeated again all that God had done through them throughout all of this here journey that they went. And they rehearsed it with the church that had sent them out. Now, in September, we began Missions Month. And so we took a missionary journey. We went on as a church. We went on different places. Who here can tell me one of the missionaries that was with us? Brother Dwayne. Who can tell me what missionary place Brother Dwayne worked in? Honduras. Colombia. Who was the missionary? Young. Colombia. How about that? There's three more. Elvis. How do you remember Elvis?
He was a dangerous place.
I thought you were going to tell me because he sang the Jailhouse Rock. Elvis. Okay, where did Brother Sneathen go? Elvis Sneathen. 1040 window. Alright, we got three more now. No, two more. Philippines. Who was the missionary who went to the Philippines? Who? Mislin. Missionary Mislin. Who was the other one?
Joshua
Kidd. Where was he to? Cape Verde. What takes place in Cape Verde with the hurricanes? He gave us a hint, didn't he? Okay, so we had a trip through the Philippines, into Honduras, down to Colombia, over to Cape Verde, into the 1040 window. Okay? This, we're rehearsing. This is what took place in the month of September. We're talking about this. These are the people that we had in that came forth and here. According to the scriptures, which we just read, I know I read them pretty quick. What is the primary work of a missionary? Preach the word. Preach the word. Would y'all say that any of them that we had in was not the one that was going to be a preacher of the word? Did y'all get any idea that that was not their primary work? And we're all here. Y'all heard them. Did one of them? You're not in trouble if that's what you proceed. I'm just, we're rehearsing what's going on. So you felt all five, Brother Hector, that was their primary goal, was to preach the word and to establish church.
Amen.
Is that what everybody came up with? See souls saved? Will everybody that gets saved join a church? No. It'd be the right thing to do. Get saved, follow the Lord in baptism, join a Bible-believing church so you can help in that local area and propagate the gospel. Can somebody tell me something that sticks out to them about any of the missionaries that we had? Something that really you saw and it really just pricked your heart. Yes, Brother Jason? I can't hear you, Brother.
Brother Elvis?
Missionary to India. The 1040, the light in 1040?
Right. So, I didn't really know. I mean, I knew there was an Indian influence there, but I didn't really know about all the Muslims that were there, too. And that kind of part, I didn't really know. And I also didn't know what the 1040 window was. I had never heard of that.
There's a lot of people in the 1040 window, isn't there? A lot of people. Does everybody understand what the 1040 window is? That longitude, latitude window of space beginning over there in Asia, all the way across over there by Papua New Guinea and all of that area. So a bunch of folks live over there. Whole bunch of folks live in that area, and they got a whole bunch of different religions, like Brother Jason wasn't aware of. They're following these different religions. They're going to spend eternity in the devil's hell because they're not having the truth, the life, and the word of God. So these missionaries are going over there, and their primary goal should be to preach the word, plant water, so God can reach in and bring an increase. So to have a local body of church, a local assembly, a local church, is there a magic number you got to have of saved folks joined together to have like 20, 52, maybe 12? Not a magic number, is it? We can go into the Word of God. We can study in there where Paul had preached and commended and said I think it was Phoebe and the church and the Priscilla and Aquila, excuse me, and the church in their house. When my wife and I was missionaries in Greece, we started the church there in Greece, and we started in our home as it began to grow until there was times in our home we'd have 40 to 50 people. Preacher, you must have had a huge home. Yes, we did. It was about 925 square feet. You got to have a certain size building. No. You got to have born again people that follow the Lord in biblical scriptural baptism, that assemble themselves together where a local church has, what was the word here? Verse number 23. And when they had ordained elders in every church, and they had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. They gave them the authority to become their own church. Where'd they get that authority? The church at Antioch sent them out. Remember Acts 13? They ministered in the church. They got their authority from that church. But then they became their own church, and now Paul backed away, and now they have a responsibility to do the same thing. But the primary goal of every missionary, first and foremost, must be the preaching of the Word of God, see folks saved, and then teach them to observe all things. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and started the first church. In the book of Matthew, you find that, and as you study that, and when he left in the book of Acts, there was a membership of 120 folks.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1. The number and name of us was 120. So they rehearsed, and they taught it, and brought it out. So Brother Jason was touched by the fact that there was a place with so many people, and so many different religions, and now here's somebody willing to take the gospel message over to that place. What happens if a missionary, brother, somebody help me here. What happens if a missionary goes, they surrender their life, and they go, and they spend 12 years on a mission field somewhere, and there's not a church that has been planted and started? Would they be considered a failure? Because if he is preaching the word and sowing the seed and watering the seed, it's God's business to bring the increase.
Amen.
There's a lot of preachers we can go through in the Word of God that entered into some places. Matter of fact, Paul himself, a great missionary, entered into the city of Athens and didn't leave nothing as far as the church being planted. No church at all. There's no scale. We hear about, wow, they started 12 churches. They must be a great missionary. This guy, he started nothing. And he's got to be a failure. Not if he's faithful to preach the word. Did you notice how every instance, and they preached, and they preached, and they preached. Can there be secondary tools that can be used? When I say tools, such as feeding kitchens in the poor, medical work in the villages where there's no medical system set up. These are tools to bring people. But if the tool becomes the primary, then you have the tail wagging the head. The primary has to always be the focus of the gospel. The preaching of the word. And you use these other things to be a help to gather the people that you might be able to share the gospel message with folks. Now, Brother Chase is here, and I don't want to embarrass him, but many of us have taken a couple of trips down there to see him. And you know that there was the one church up on the big hill that they raised funds and they built dug a well and they've got a water system there. And it would be wrong, in my opinion, that if all they did was turn the water on and just leave it there and just, if you want water, come get it. They need living water.
Amen.
So Brother Chase and them's goal is when folks come up there is that they get the message of Christ handed out to them and talk with, and you share a gospel. You say, "Well, what if they don't? They don't get saved, and they don't." That's not our business. Our business is to get the message that Jesus saves out. I tell you, I found this out in our work here at Lock Haven is that the majority of the visitors that come our way contact with. I think it's a byproduct fruit of our faithfulness in the area of just reaching out. And God says, okay, you're going to be faithful. You're going to go in those neighborhoods. You're going to pass out God's tracts. You're going to invite people in. You're going to leave a tract at the gas station or at the workplace or Cracker Barrel when you eat. And if you're going to be faithful to do that, then I'm going to move and bring people by that they might come in and be a part of what's going on. I look at it as God moving and bringing folks in that we'd never see because He's faithful. If we're faithful, He's faithful. So, anybody else got something? Any of the missionaries that maybe stuck out to you? Yeah, Brother Josh?
Brother Kidd talked a lot about getting into public schools over there in Katy, and that really was something that I was thinking about. The opportunity that he has there to impact not just the people that are living there right now, but future generations to getting Bibles to the hands of the kids.
That's a blessed open road. Doesn't the Bible teach us we pray for an open door? An opportunity of utterance? Now, if he was taking rulers and curions over up in there, I'd say forget it. But they're allowing him to bring rulers, crowns, and John and Romans and a gospel tract. I mean, go for it. I mean, what a blessed thing. We've had Brother Corn here, and we've tried to get him in a couple of schools here, and it's just hard. If you don't have somebody that's open, a principal that is okay with it, you're beating your head against the door. Just ask Brother James. He's a teacher of how many years at that school? 20-something? 30. Same school, Dr. Phillips. We came by your house the other day with Brother Ray, and I said, who was with me? He was with me, Brother Ray, and I said, why don't he just transfer to this school right here beside your house? What's the name of that school? John something? John, that elementary school. Yeah, I said, I wonder why Brother James don't. He could walk to work. 30 years. And they're fighting a 30-year teacher tooth and nail to keep from having a Bible study. That is a shame. So this is a great opportunity. A door that's been open, and I pray God that he'd get all the... And he's got to do it while the door's open. All it takes is a minister of education over there to get changed. Shut it down. Years ago, right here in our print press, we used to print New Testaments for the Osceola County Police Department. They got a new county lawyer. He looked at it, told them they could no longer do it. No longer going to have them printed right out of here. It takes one person. All it takes is one. They think they're doing right by separation of church and state. Oh, we got to guard ourselves. No, they're a pawn of the devil. So when you have opportunity, you better do it. I've called both Orange and Osceola County and asked them, could I come in as a ride-along chaplain? They called me back and asked me what was my primary goal in doing this. I said, to comfort people with the name of Jesus. I hadn't been on one ride-along. Not one ride-along. They hadn't. You know why? One person in charge. And the door's blocked. I'm dealing with the sergeant up there in Orange County that is the chaplain. Oversees the chaplain program. Well, I don't know about this Jesus thing. Well, there ain't no other name under heaven where my man would got to be saved. Will be saved. I got too much I can do. If they won't let me talk about Jesus, I'll go. I ain't got time. I'll just do it somewhere else. If they'd just let me spell it out, I'd be okay. When I come to the name of Jesus, they'd just let me say J-E-S-U-S. I'd live with that. Because Paul said, preach it in contention. But they won't even let me do that. So while the door's open, I sure hope they can get Brother Kidd over there real quick. But here's the thing, Brother Kidd has to have the support to get over there. If Brother Kidd takes him another year to raise support, that door might be closed. One election. That's how it works. You see why, church, I'm telling you, mission work is so important? This is one. Anybody else? Anybody else got something, one of the missionaries stuck out in your head, in your mind? Yes, Sister Lois?
In Brother Sneeder's presentation, he showed a picture of another couple that's helping him and said field representative. But then there was no other pictures. It just appears to be two American couples doing all that they're doing, and they were both elderly, and that really hit home for me.
Elderly. Brother Chase, I'm thinking about starting a seniors aerobic class around here. You want to lead it? We'll get us some of them spinner bikes and put back there in one of them rooms. Get us a TV monitor, and y'all can sit back there and ride your bicycle while I'm preaching. I've been here 11 years. You folks that called on me to be your pastor 11 years ago, do you realize you're not 11 years younger? You're 11 years older. I hate to tell you. Yes, sir, Brother Crum.
One of my favorite verses is, cast your bread upon the water, and it shall return after many days.
You sure it ain't just in a few days?
Yeah, sometimes.
It's many days.
Many days, yeah. See, sometimes people want, you got to set price right now. You got to do this. You'll go to hell, you know. And, you know, the thing is, the Word of God is what does the work. It's not my power, but as I speak the Word is what gives it power. There's power in the blood. And when we preach that, and I mean live it, you're going to also live that. And that's a challenge to me every day, you know, that we preach the Word, and we not only preach with words, but with our life. People see us, and they should see a good representation of what a Christian ought to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Many days, it says. Brother Jim's brother labored down there in amongst folks that just can't even hardly find work to keep them going. Trying to reach them folks. It's right here in the state of Florida, too, dear friend. It's all around us. It's not just overseas. So the Lord brings an opportunity for us to see that's before us, and He gives us verses that we are definitely responsible for as a local church to be doing and getting the gospel and the message out. We need to be very careful that every opportunity the Lord brings of like-minded, like-faith, missionary workers that come our way, that we do everything in our power that we can be a help to them to get the work out. And as the Lord grows us and He brings more people, we ought to be able to help another missionary down the road and another, because that's part of the responsibility of a local church is to be involved in evangelization of the world. That's why it's so important that we, as God's people, we see it from God's point of view. That we be found faithful. I thank God for the missionaries we support, but I thank the church our size. We could be doing a little bit more. Certainly can. If you're not, the whole reason I had it the whole month was that you'd be challenged to personally get involved with some offers weekly. My wife and I have been given to mission work since we got saved. And I ain't going to quit. I believe it's that important. I believe it is that important because, listen, we are responsible. I'm talking above and beyond our tithe that we give in offerings. And I ask you, you need to pray. You need to seek God's face. You need to ask Him and say, well, preacher, I'm praying and God's laid on my heart about, you know, a small amount. He was impressed with 2 mites. He's not asking us to get involved beyond our measure and our ability. He's asking us to trust Him and be found faithful and systematically give. Week by week, month by month, however God lays upon your heart and say, Lord, I honestly believe. You say, well, Pastor, why don't you tell me a number? That's between you and God. Listen to me. God, the universe, the God of the universe saved your soul, and He can't impress upon you how much you need to be involved in world missions, then you'll just be doing it because I say it. Maybe you should just give a week, a month. I do believe God in heaven can speak to you if you'll listen. All you've got to do is figure out if it's biblical or not. We see it through there. Malachi says you rob me in tithes and offerings. Thank God for all the tithing members. I'm thankful I'm in the church that I don't have to spend a whole lot of time and energy on talking about tithing. I'm glad you're learning and you're faithful to it. It's what God requires of us. It's His. You work, you labor, and He said 10% is mine. Give it to the local church for the local church use so they can use to propagate the gospel and right around here locally. And have a church. Without God's people giving, dear friend, we would be sitting in here in the dark. In case you didn't know it, the government don't give us one red penny for lights. The government don't give us one red penny to mow grass up around here. Matter of fact, we have to hire somebody on to do that. Somebody told me one time, I don't know when it was, a couple years ago, I said, preacher, why don't we just have volunteers do it? I said, what you waiting on? They still ain't showed up to mow one lick. Preacher, why you got to hire somebody to weed eat? Your hand, if it's capable, grab a weed eater to come around here. We'd be glad not to. We'll pay them the pain. You can weed eat for free. I'm just telling you, the work of the Lord around here, it costs. We ain't not once put out a bulletin notice that says, please bring your own toilet paper. We ain't buying no more toilet paper. But you've gotten them lists from the schools, haven't you? Every year, the government schools send you a list and say, listen, the teachers can't work unless you bring all these supplies. I know it's just tissue right now. Couple of years. Y'all better get some Charmin stocked up, send it with your youngin'. I'm just telling you. That's how cheap our government's getting. They take, and they take, and they take. God's a giver. He gave His only begotten Son. He gives us everything we have and says, give me 10%. That's all He says. I'm so thankful I spent a whole lot of time on this. I am just so thankful I don't. But I think I do need to spend a little time on this mission. It's important. And I have asked you, church, please seek God's face. Week by week, month by month, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, just add it in there in the memo and say, please send this on to mission work. Don't rob Peter to pay Paul. Now, if you're giving your tithe and it's X amount, and you say, oh, the Lord said give $6 to mission, well, I'm going to deduct $6 over here for tithe. Go, nah. This ain't Common Core math. This is God's work. It's God's work. So, church, I'm asking you, please pray. Seek God's face. So as we investigate, we look, and we have, I believe, a good list of 5 missionaries that have been with us. I believe that we need to be able to support down the road here real shortly. Like, well, preacher, we might get around to it to January. Listen, people, thousands, thousands, thousands of people die daily. What if you was in the 1040? And we get around to it till January, and you happen to have a heart attack and die. That's crazy logic, dear friend. We better redeem the time. What does the Bible say tomorrow is the day of salvation? We'll get to it tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. People need the Lord, and this world is depending upon us. We owe a debt, dear friend, of gratitude to God. And the only way we can do it is to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me, and get involved in sharing the gospel. Through mission giving, evangelization, personally. I ask you to pray about it. Seek God's face. And get involved and be found faithful at it. Don't just get involved and just say, oh, it's an emotional thing. No, this is a commitment. And I tell you, dear friend, you can never outgive God. Never. Never. And before you know it, God will be smiling down upon us. And just like I said about the church of Thessalonica, and their faith was sounded abroad. As we get involved in the missionary lives, it's because we have increased. Our faith has been increased, and our coast has been enlarged. Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, it was a good time just looking over what happens in the local church and missionary work. Thank you for recording it in the book of Acts so we can study it and look at it. And Lord, we can see how you did it through the early church. And you set that pattern, example for us. Now help us, Lord, in this day and age which we live in. Surely, you're coming back soon. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the job at hand, the task at hand. Lord, help us to keep mindful of the need to be involved in world evangelization. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.